From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Senator Mark Mullett hopes his hairstyle trend is going to help his run for Washington governor. It's important to have hopes and dreams.
It sure is. And yard signs that have hair on them, apparently.
Despite progress, Seattle's downtown comeback faces many obstacles. This is all very, very unusual indeed. But you know what's not unusual? Mr. John Curley.
Like clockwork, my friends, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Mr. Curley, someone texted the show last segment, and I lost a little bit of my sanity because they said, won't you have more people on to balance out some of the commentary on your show? And I said, but Mr. Curley comes on every Tuesday and Thursday as the righteous voice. John Curley is the proverbial 35 or 9mm of freedom in the chamber. Do you know what I'm talking about? He's right there, locked and loaded.
Ready to be... you got Spike and you, and occasionally Laura jumps in. Sometimes Mickey's... Well, they want someone else in there?
Well, they want a pro-Trump, you know, that kind of angle on it. And so I was thinking about, John, if what would be great is, could you just say, like one or two pro-Trump things that we could just have for drops. So every time we say something negative about Trump, you come on and you say... grab that drop.
Oh, that was too much of a setup, Jack. You don't do that to your friends. Could you lend him?
No. I tell you why I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Because you're going to use it all the time, and then it's going to be like a thing, and like we do to you, where you say, you know, the Nazis, and we got to drop what you're talking about.
Nobody could bake a cake like Goebbels. That guy could bake.
I'm not going to do that because I will not be toyed with like that. Okay. Thank you, Spike.
Well, we already have a couple other John drops that we can throw in there.
Yeah.
We've had a couple questions in the text line. People are saying, why aren't you guys talking about the governor's race? Why aren't you guys talking more about the race for the governorship of the state of Washington? And my thought about it is a little fatalistic. I think you'd agree with it. I think it's pretty clear. Bob Ferguson's got a lot of momentum behind him. Dave Reichert, maybe not so much. I don't really see Washington all of a sudden flipping over to the GOP, but what say you, my friend?
Yeah, they're not going to.
Yeah.
I saw a poll that was taken a while ago. I like Mark Mullett a lot. He has virtually no support. People don't know who he is, which is unfortunate because he's a really good guy.
He's got great
hair.
If
you want to vote Democrat, right in the middle, go with Mark Mullett. But as far as money's concerned, because that is the mother's milk of politics, Bob's got 5 million. Dave is up to, what, 1 point or got 2 million or something. So Mark is about $1 million. But they did a poll. Most people are going to vote. Last time they had this race, they took this poll. Most people already knew who they were going to vote for. About 50% knew who they were going to vote for. In this case, a lot of people are sort of not quite sure. About 24% are sure. Others are thinking about other people. But the state of Washington getting a Republican is... It ain't going to happen.
Spike is raising his hand like a desperate child in third grade.
Yes. Call on me, Jack. Call on me. Call on me. Thank you. We all know Jack's inclinations to not think highly of the current governor.
What?
You don't think highly of Governor Inslee. I mean, you look highly because he's 7 foot tall, but you don't think highly. Jack, or John, rather, what would you say about Governor Inslee that could help an undecided vote for a different option?
If you like Inslee, you'll love Bob Ferguson. Because he's Jay Inslee with a brain. And
I can't even imagine.
Take that for whichever way you want.
Well, so Ferguson...
If you like big government controlled by unions, you'll love Bob Ferguson.
Ferguson was kind of the architect behind legalese for Inslee to do the emergency powers for as long as he did and kind of maintaining that bizarre lockout system, you know what I mean? And because that requires a lot of legal footing to tell people to stay in their homes and not go to restaurants.
To have a legal basis for emergency declaration powers.
You need a lot of legalese and basically...
Legally kill people with excessive deaths.
Right.
So that's why the Corleones had Tom. Yeah, yeah.
And destroy $17 trillion worth of educational value in our kids.
Right.
That's overall in the United States. I don't know what kind of damage is done to Washington kids, but go ahead.
Well, I think, John, like when you think about like the pitch that I would make to people about someone like Mark Wayne Mullett over, let us just say, like Bob Ferguson, is that, or even like Dave Reichert over someone like Bob Ferguson, is my deepest fear is that there will be another virus or another sickness that breaks out. And then all of that panic mechanism kicks right back in. Only this time, all of the legal framework has already been established and then also codified by judges. So now it's not even a question of whether or not you can keep your gym open, or if Speedies can stay open, or you can have people exercise in a gym or outside of your gym because you drag the equipment outside every morning so that people can exercise under tents. Now it's already there, so you're just going to have to deal with it. That is basically would be a more of a precautionary measure. I don't know what you think about that, John.
But you're assuming they didn't learn anything. They're never going to admit that they were wrong, but you're going to assume that they learned nothing.
Yes.
From their mistakes, and they're going to do the exact same thing again.
Yes. Yeah. I think that they will make the same mistakes all over again. I most certainly, because once you pull that mechanism, there's something about it kind of reminds me of, this is going to be way out there, John, but if you'll follow me down this rabbit hole.
Yes,
when
I'm going.
Saddam Hussein took over power in Iraq, one of the things that he did that was exceptionally clever and also kind of Machiavellian in kind of a very weird way is he would do these things where he would have these like really strong social programs for people. Mm-hmm. But then he would do this thing publicly where he would say, I mean, if somebody else gets into power in any position, they're going to take away all these sweet social programs that I've offered for you guys. And it was this very evil, insidious way of, even though he was a mass murderer and even though he did all these terrible, awful things, he was beloved by the people because he had this kind of ever-present idea of there's somebody else out there who's going to take all this away from you. And nobody, and for 30 some odd years, the guy had unbelievable popularity, one under threat of death, but two under threat of you'll lose all of these programs that I've established and that I give you so generously from my heart. People don't learn, you know what I mean? That's when once people have that power mechanism, they don't want to get rid of it, and they do so, and they keep it under threat of violence or, you know, poverty or whatever it is.
Yeah, I Jack, it's nice down in this rabbit hole, which, by the way, smells like rabbit feces with you. But like I gotta say, I cannot imagine that they would do the exact same thing again. And I don't believe people would follow. I don't think. I mean, now the trust, whatever there was, is gone for the CDC, the FDA, and the rest. The people are not going to follow. There were all the people that were fighting against it and saying the masks are ridiculous and shutting me down. You're destroying my business. Why are the unions keeping the schools closed? People are going to ask for more data. And I just don't think they're going to have the same platform again. But, you know, I hope you're wrong. But Bob Ferguson is more than happy to curtail your freedoms, because people like Bob and people that vote for Bob and really support Bob are smarter than the rest of us. Let's just be honest.
This is very true.
At least you can finally admit it. That's a step in the right direction.
Just let them rule, because we're not that smart and they are.
So
let them take control for you.
Senator Mark Wayne Mullet is hoping his hairstyle trend is going to help his run for Washington governor. Now, I just learned this about the man. He owns 4 Ben & Jerry's ice cream franchises and a Zeke's Pizza, which is pretty cool.
Got my vote right there. Zeke's Pizza.
So, but for some reason, he's hoping that the mullet's coming back this year. Party in the back, business in the front.
I've known Mark for years. He was a city council member in Issaquah when I was over at Sammamish. He's a very smart guy.
Yeah.
He is right down the middle. He was the one that stopped a lot of the votes. He was there like, oh, you're secretly a MAGA. He's like, no, I'm a businessman. I understand what happens in economics. Don't do some of the things you want to do with the renters things and other junk that he was able to stop. That's the guy that should win. I like Dave Reichert a lot, but in the state of Washington, they're going to bury him on the abortion stuff, which isn't even an issue. And they're going to get him on the MAGA stuff, which shouldn't be an issue either. But unfortunately for Mark, 32% of people in poll don't even know who he is.
Mm.
So that's a big problem. How he's going to get the support, who knows? But he doesn't have the unions backing him, and the unions are all over Bob because they want Bob to be there because it's the governor and the unions are negotiating. The taxpayers never seated at the table. So you give them the money, it's like a slot machine, and then it pays off loose slots, higher payoffs in the unions if you get Bob Ferguson in there.
I would say, do you guys remember Whitesnake? You remember the cool haircuts?
Yes,
sure.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Big hair.
That guy's running for governor.
Your achy, breaky governorship. That's what we should, yeah.
There you go. There
but
you
I'm,
go.
I'm telling you, yard signs with long hair in the back that said, you know, governor's mansion, Party in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's a very serious, he's a funny guy. He's a serious guy. I wrote him the other day and I said, you know, you need to get more money. You got to get out there. And he's like, I know. Tell me about it. I said, sell more pizzas. So he's working it, but it just takes a lot because everybody just assumes where the momentum is going this way. The crowd goes when they see where the crowd is going and they go that way. So, you know, Bob, unfortunately, will have the power behind him. And it's unfortunate for the state. The question is always, you know, do you want – the only thing I've seen in the polls that makes it interesting is it time for a change? Is it time for a change? And 38% of people said, yeah, it could possibly be time for a change. So that could help Mark Mullett.
I give Mullett credit. We've been talking about him for 5 minutes now. Because
on Dave. 53% of the people in the state of Washington are Democrat, 34% are Republicans. So for Dave Ryker to win, he's got to get all the independents, and then he has to get a big chunk of the Democrats. As Rob McKenna told me once, stand on top of the Space Needle, and every single house you see, you must win if you want to be the governor in the state of Washington. You got to win all of King County, all of it. In order to really be in there. If not, it doesn't really matter what happens over in Eastern Washington and other parts of the North and South. You've got to get in there in King County. You got to get the majority.
So you're a fan of a two-state solution for Eastern and Western Washington and Eastern and Western Oregon, right?
No, we would have trouble keeping ourselves alive out here if you all of a sudden cut off all the money. No,
look at that. That is a practical answer right there.
Yes,
people always forget that.
So despite progress, Seattle's downtown comeback faces many obstacles. I can only think of one primary obstacle. This was written up in the Seattle Times, by the way. The primary obstacle is that you basically have an open-air asylum downtown and no one wants to open a business when you've got Hatchet Man and Machete Girl running around threatening little children, right? I don't know if people really, you can do all the incentives, all the new structures, all the subsidies you want to try to get people downtown. You can't have that level of insanity at the same time as trying to, hey, come on down. Why don't you open up a new KB Toys or whatever it is right down
here. Come play pickleball.
Exactly.
We'll have the court swept for needles every morning.
Yeah. I just think that it's entirely misguided. So, John, my question for you is if you could.
That's not the problem.
Oh, what is the problem?
It's a small part of it. People use it as an excuse. There are 12,000 people in the city of Seattle that work for the city of Seattle, and they can work from home if they want. And I saw this as an editorial, so I'm basically paraphrasing whoever wrote it there a couple of weeks ago. Until the city says, hey, person working in the whatever department you're in, you got to come back to work. And you have to come back, and you have to come back, and you have to come back. You've got to start with all the city employees and make them all come back. 12,000 of them can work from home. City of Seattle has 36% that worked remotely about two years ago, and they tried to force them back. Those are private employers. But start with the city. If the city really wants them back, force all those workers back. There's 12,000 of them. Get them back in there. But they're not, so the city is like a wasteland during the day.
Yeah, but the work environment has transitioned to a hybrid situation. If you're going to force people back,
I agree. If you force people back, you're not going back to the box. Right. You don't want to take the commute. No.
Yeah, you can't. If you force people back in the office, they're going to leave the business.
Well,
that's right. Spike. That's you know what? When they were polled, they said, "Would you quit if you were forced to come back?" And they said, "Yeah, I'd quit." I mean, once people get a taste of it, that freedom. They don't want to get back in the car in an hour and a half commute.
And John knows from personal experience exactly what we're talking about here.
I just come back. I was in there yesterday.
You were. And, of course, when John comes in, whenever anybody tries to talk to John, you don't make eye contact with John. You look down at the ground and you hold up a picture of
Diana Ross. Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm like Neil Diamond in an elevator.
And then you say, Mr. Curley, may I polish your Emmy from 96 or from 98 this time?
And then I say, which one?
And while I polish, might I pose a question?
Might I pose a question,
yes,
Mr. Curley?
Yes,
I was down in the John Curley Memorial Refreshment Center the other day, and I did notice that there is a new sign up there that says that someone's not paying for their refreshments, and obviously it can't be you, so who do you think it is? By the way, John,
there really is a sign that says that?
Okay, here's the thing that's going on with the Refreshment Center, is that we now know that it's not John Curley who's going down to the John Curley Memorial Refreshment Center.
It was for a while.
It was for a while. Dude was just treating it like it was the quote-unquote free room, as John used to call it.
No. I would get the stickers. I'd hold it up to the camera. I would smile and go, and then I'd mouth, I'll be back. And then, like a year later,
Martin
calls me in. I got to give him $2,000.
Yep. Yep. So, but here's the question, though, John. If it's not you, because I can't blame you for this anymore, I know it's not Laura. I know it's not Spike, and I know it's not Andrew. Whomst amongst us is stealing refreshments out of the John Curley Memorial Refreshment Center, right?
I don't know, but they have a camera down there, and the people that run the thing have all the footage. And I think it gets to a certain point, they eventually say to Myron, "Hey, get that person." So it's just a matter of time. Believe me. I know.
I think we need to get to the bottom of this, Andrew, because it can't. I know it's not certain people in the room, because certain people are not, let us just say, as well remunerated as others of us are in terms of our labor that we put into this building. So who could it possibly be? Is it young Jacob Rummel? Top of the list.
No way.
Middle management. He started lifting again. His calories have to go up, right?
No. He is a rule follower's rule follower.
But that's the perfect
guy
cover,
in the front
John.
Of the class. Didn't you say you were going to give his homework over the weekend? Yeah, that's Jacob.
Okay.
Does anybody in the building possess Jedi skills? Because I think if they don't have the guy caught yet, he's looking at the camera and says, this is not the candy bar you see.
No, it's got to be a sleeper cell.
It's somebody working at night.
Is it Mr. Butler, mayhap? Matt Butler? But Matt Butler is like Green Acres in encapsulated, right? He's like, you know, Eddie Haskell personified. It can't be Mr. Butler, can it?
I don't think it is.
No. I mean, it's got to be somebody. We got to really get to the bottom of this and figure out who is stealing food out of
Ask Marin, and she probably has the video already. They're not going to snick. Who? Who is it?
Brian Buckaloo. He's the only person with the passcode to the camera who can shut it down. You see what I'm saying?
He can have the whole hard drive wiped. Can he?
Yes.
Mr. Buckaloo. Yes. I think we've got
Hillary
to the
in there to smash it with a hammer.
Put some bleach on it. Yeah.
You mean wipe it with a cloth? That's what Brian says every time. I think we figured out it was. And guess who's not here today? Coincidentally, Brian Buckaloo. Taking the day off on the day we finally get to the bottom of this bruise.
Sugar coma.
You can listen to Mr. John Curley Monday through Friday on the John Curley.
Please. I need to pay for all my Snickers bars.
Sherry Ellicker Show, Mr. Curley.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, my friend. We appreciate it. I called John on Sunday to complain because I have a list of people that I call. And John, would you complain?
Okay.
And John's at the top of the list. Because you remember I had to get that credit card. I had to apply.
Yeah, that's right.
So I called John because I go to John for my financial advice. And so.
Did you get approved?
I got approved for it, but John wasn't there. So I just had to pull the trigger on it without John.
But
I still feel like John would have been proud of me, despite the fact that we didn't actually talk about it. When we get back, Spike was deeply upset. First thing he talked about when he came in this morning, he said, "Hey, did your guys' Comcast bill go up?" I said, "I don't have cable. It's the devil." And then Spike broke down in tears, rolled up in a little roly-poly ball, and refused to move until we agreed to discuss the fact that Comcast is going up in money.
I need help.
Why do you still have cable?
I got to cut the cord, man. I can't.
We're going to talk to a cable expert when we get back right after this. Jake Skorheim, attorney at law, in the studio. Mr. Skorheim, how are you today, my friend?
Thank you guys for having me so much. Which one is Spike again?
That'd be her.
Mrs. Spike over there. So, Jake, are you a TV
nightmare
guy?
For her?
Are you a TV guy, Jake?
Am I a TV guy with your boys?
With your kids? Do you let them watch cable or not so much?
You know, we have we're pretty strict in the Skorheim household about what we will let them watch.
Yeah,
and so we have some shows that we allow them to watch. Yes,
okay,
but they can't randomly search for things. They're not allowed on YouTube, stuff like that.
So, do you guys have Comcast? Are you Comcast right now?
No, we cut the cord.
Yes, yeah. Jake Skorheim, my hero.
Sure, just rub my nose in it. Sure.
Just start playing, Andrew, just start playing Foo Fighters, my hero, every time Jake says anything. Because
I love it.
Okay, because I've been trying to convince O'Neill here that he needs to cut the cord, get away from Cable, because Cable is literally the devil. But when I said that to Spike, he got down like when a little kid throws a tantrum. He got down in a little ball, and he goes, Spike, want TV? And I
it's
said,
not what I said. I said, you call her. You tell her. If we're going to tell the truth here, you call Miss, you call the truly unpleasant and tell her that I'm going to cut the cable.
Did he stomp his foot?
No. Yeah, why
she
did, you,
did it at home.
Why did you get rid of cable, my friend?
You know, for us, it was a mixture of things. We're very cost conscious at our house.
Yes.
If we're wasting money on things that we're not using, which was cable for us, we try to nip it in the bud. We get rid of it as fast as we can. And so we were looking at it. We found that originally when we got cable, the only reason we got it originally is because they said, well, your internet's actually going to be cheaper if you get cable. That's the, I mean, they kind of like try to pull you in and trick you to get it.
They tried that with me.
So we were like, all right, well, there's got to be a cheaper way to get internet because we just don't use this cable. I mean, for anything. And so, because everybody streams everything. If you have a TV, you're probably watching one of many, you know, Netflix or whatever.
Absolutely.
Spike has tears down his face.
Dude, crying.
No one
right
watches
now.
Cable.
He's like, no. But so that's the reason that we got it. And also, I don't like what's being offered on it.
Yes. Yeah.
I find it to be, there's a few things.
120 Hispanic channels don't please you?
Well, 10 would, but 140 seems,
know, it
seems
is like 140 Hispanic, which are great.
I actually think that cable, and I say this unironically, is a mass psyop operation that's perpetrated on the American people on a daily basis.
Now, you're not joking when you
I'm
say
not
that.
Joking. I think that it is a mass exercise in hypnosis. Because if you notice, everything in cable is very uniform to the neoliberal system that we all live in. Hmm. There's no deviation from that system. You don't see people talking about anarcho-communist, anarcho-capitalist, whatever trash garbage. You don't see anybody talking about libertarianism. Mostly what you see is people reinforcing the status quo. I'm not even talking about news media. I'm talking about everything from the TV, from the shows that you watch, mm-hmm. to the crime dramas, to the game shows. It's all basically to stay saturated in this like neoliberal consumerist culture that we live in.
Those are big words.
Any deviation from that is thought of as being gross. Just a really quick example. I was over at a friend of mine's house. I was actually staying my mom's best friend. I was homeless at the time. She said, you come sleep on my couch for a couple of weeks. And they were a cable family. And so they were watching, I think it was CBS. They watched the CBS evening lineup every single night.
Okay.
And one of the things that I started to notice was that they would use new songs that were coming out as the soundtrack to these CBS shows.
Okay.
So at the time, I think it was Imagine Dragons was coming out with a new song, and I'm watching the show Hawaii Five-0, the remake of it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, they're playing this new song in the background. This is not a coincidence. This is to incept the idea in your mind that this is a good song and that it's worth listening to.
Well, that's actually a really smart business practice. It's vertical integration.
Yes, exactly.
So what they did was, I think CBS is owned by CBS at the time was owned by probably
Viacom.
Owned by Viacom?
Probably.
So I don't know what their music wing is. It could be Sony.
It's probably Sony.
Sure.
So Sony has Sony Music.
Yep.
And so they just say, hey, we're going to put all this music on their shows. I will say, I don't know about all those things that you were talking about, but I do love Survivor a great deal.
Do you?
I love it. No, it's season 46. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, how did you get 46 seasons out of 29 years? Just to explain that one.
Because they do two a year.
They do 2 a year. They do 2 a year. Yeah,
watch.
And I've reached an age where, like, I really appreciate. I mean, I actually do. For somebody who doesn't have cable, I do have the Paramount Plus app, and so I'm able to watch Survivor, and I'm able to also watch. What else do I watch on the? I also watch Amazing Race. Because I've just
reality TV?
I've reached that age in life where I like to watch these very
young people run.
When you're watching something and
one
of your little clones comes up to you and they say, Papa, what are you watching? Do you have to shield negative images away from them? Or do you and the missus watch it in a very clandestine way?
Well, we don't. I'm going to sound like a weirdo. We don't watch. We don't allow anything on the TV when the kids are awake that they might be exposed to things
that's
that we don't want
weird.
Them exposed to.
That's
no,
great,
that's really
man.
Good. Yeah.
Because kids are, you know, they're always sneaking up. They're just, they got sneaky little, they're like little
like spies.
Exactly.
Like little ninjas.
And they're always watching and listening.
And that's nothing new there. Because in 1970, probably if I had to guess, my parents had to move the television in our living room because it was situated in a way that we could be put to bed.
You could see it down the hall.
And it could come down the hallway and sit behind, you know, and watch the TV.
Yeah.
And one day my old man caught us, and he literally put the TV so he could watch TV and the doorway to the hallway to our bedroom. That's so it's nothing new that kids are sneaking around watching
that's
stuff.
That's just good parenting.
I thought so.
Yeah. So the only reason I know that the Mariners won a World Series is because when that year happened, I had crazy insomnia.
The Mariners have never won a World Series.
They haven't?
You talking about Seahawks winning a Super Bowl?
No, I forgot. Jack's a super big sports guy.
The Mariners have never been to, let alone won.
I thought they never won.
No, they've been to the postseason, and they went to an ALCS once.
That's probably what it was then.
They lost to Cleveland in the ALCS.
Because my grandparents are from Everett.
Beating the White Sox and the Yankees.
You guys have a sports segment, right? Where you like get deep into sports.
Yeah, he actually knows more than he lets on. He's playing coy.
So I had crazy insomnia as a kid, and I snuck up to because my grandparents had the bedroom upstairs. I snuck up to their bedroom, and their door was cracked open by about 3 or 4 inches. And I remember just sitting there. I don't even like sports. And I was watching them watch sports simply to have some kind of stimulation. Because I was just watching this sporting event.
Yeah.
That's how addicted to television I was as a small child, right? I couldn't get away from it. It's the only reason I know that sports is even a thing.
Well, Laura noticed that a tear was welling down and rolling down my cheek earlier. It wasn't because I don't want to cut Comcast, and I do want to cut Comcast. It's because I've also got Paramount Plus and Disney Plus.
Yeah, you've got redundancies.
Hulu, how much are you spending a month on subscription services?
You see that new beautiful Mercedes up front?
No.
That's because I don't spend that much money on cable every month. That's
right,
why.
But Spike, you have 10 cars. And then,
seven. Three motorcycles, so 10 vehicles.
Right,
you've
got
that.
10 vehicles.
Yeah.
You got to pay insurance on all those.
Just the ones that are driving.
Okay,
three at a time that are insured.
And then you're paying for all these streaming services.
Yeah, that's
you're basically paying tuition for Skorheim's kids.
I am basically sending your kids to Harvard every month
to
see naked people running on the island that you watch on Paramount Plus.
I mean, Jake, but when your kids want to watch, do you have to pre-watch it in advance before you show it to your kids, or do you just
we'll watch something first before they watch it?
Wow,
just so we know what they're getting into.
That's
just like. There's a lot of weird folks out there.
That's my hero right there, Jake Skorheim.
Like it.
This is excellent parenting from Jake Skorheim.
What do you hope for your boys to become one day, if you could pick?
If I could pick?
Yeah. TV producers.
Yeah. There you go. Network
I want
executive,
them all to find great success. I want them all to be reality TV stars. That's my dream.
That's where the money is.
That's where the money is. Yeah. And then eventually they should transition into social media influencers. That's a fulfilling life.
Jake Skorheim can be heard every weeknight between 7 and 10. You can also check out the Current Nights podcast with Jake Skorheim because it is an excellent show that Jake puts together all by his lonesome because he's a productive young man. And I had that job previously and it's very hard. It's not easy to do.
Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that.
I acknowledge Jake's efforts, and he does a fantastic job with that show. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Seattle's looking at subsidized housing for cops, but I don't really want to talk about that. We'll talk about it anyway because it's on the show list when we get back right after this. Tell an inspirational story.
Please.
So, Spike, you know that I was a drug addict for many years.
Yeah.
You know that I was homeless and very, very poor for many, 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 many,
yeah,
many years.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andrew. And so I had an experience yesterday, which was a bizarre and otherworldly experience for me because I realized that I had elevated to another station in life. And I just wanted to share the story there.
Please.
So, my mom lives in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so when my mom needs something, there's a process. I got to Venmo my mom. I got to Zelle my mom. She's got to send me the receipt. She's got to find the exact amount. It's a big hassle. So I say to my mom, I go, Mom, listen, here's what we'll do. I'll just get a credit card and I'll put your name on it and I will send it to you and you can just charge on it and then I will just pay for it, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, that's you're good. First off, you're a good kid.
Thank you.
Good son.
I appreciate that.
If people have heard before, in case you missed it though, Jack's mom, if you don't mind,
is it functionally illiterate?
No, it's deaf.
Oh, I was gonna say racist.
Your mom has sometimes needs help with things because of her physical limitations.
And
you step up.
And because she's a bigot. And because she's culturally insensitive and is in some ways, if you could understand the depths of my mom's racism, you would think to yourself, why would you ever do that for your lovely mom? But anyway, so when I first went to go get a credit card, I was so poor that they told me that they wouldn't give me one. I had to do a prepaid credit card. Where and I said, what's that mean? They said, you give us $500.
And we'll let you spend it. Right, that's exactly, and that, but that's a tool to help people rebuild bad credit.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I did that. And this is, people always ask me, they said, how do you work out of being homeless or whatever? Yep. I found somebody who was renting a room that did not require an application or a background check.
Or first, last.
Or first and last.
Yeah, and security, right.
So I found a guy on Craigslist. I was paying like $600 a month to rent this little room in Seaside, California. And so I was totally broke. I had a prepaid credit card. It was awful, right? Yesterday, I go to apply for credit, and I'm thinking to myself, they're going to give me like a $5,000, $3,000 or $4,000.
Right, start you small.
Right, they're
going to
start me small because I've only got one credit card right now. And so I'm chatting with the woman over the phone, and I'm saying, it's from my mom. And she says to me, oh, actually, you qualify for our lowest interest rate card. And I said, oh, really? I said, do I? I said, do I? What's the line of credit on that? She goes, it's about $10,000.
There you go.
And I said, wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. When I was poor and I needed money, I had to give you money.
Oh, yeah.
And now that I don't need money, you're just giving me, giving
credit.
It to
me, right? That's
right. And she's like, yeah, and you qualify for the lowest interest rate, which is bah, 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 bah. And I was like, but if I get the smaller credit, what's the interest rate on that? She goes, oh, that one's like 18%. I'm like, 18%? Are you out of your mind? Give me that $10,000 line of credit. Point being, is that how many sons out there are saying right now, yeah, you know, my mom, I'm just going to go ahead and send her $10,000 worth of credit. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous, right, Laura? That's what I'm saying. Basically, I'm saying it's a story of inspiration, right? It's a story of how one can work their way up through the system to get to a point where you can
do it.
It's a trap.
They're waiting for you to fail. When I bought my first credit card, you have to spend a certain amount to qualify for like mileage points or whatever, right?
To get
some of the rewards of signing up.
Yeah.
I thought I could do a balance transfer. No. So I call and I ask questions about this. And the guy was like, oh, you have to spend at least $3,000 in your first, you know, month or two of having the card.
I guarantee you Mama Jay's gonna spend $2,000 or $3,000.
I was gonna ask about that.
I said I don't make that much money. Is there any other way to do this? And he goes, you can do it.
Literally. Oh, that nice. He's encouraging.
You can spend that.
Go
that
shopping.
Much. I'm sure.
I know you can spend $3,000.
Well, because Mama Jay's got dental things, she got horse things, she got all that other stuff.
And you were already helping your mom financially.
I was already helping my mom financially.
This is a smart thing to do.
Right. So it just made more sense to me to do it this way. But what I'm saying is that for people out there, they're like, oh, I was the worst of the worst. You know what I mean? And I did it. So if I can do it, I think anybody can do it, is basically what I'm saying.
Good for you. It's not hopeless. It just takes work. Takes some baby steps, right?
Yeah.
You got a prepaid card. You got a room somewhere. You worked your way up through the system.
Exactly.
Look at you today. $10,000 just with a phone call.
You can do it.
$10,000.
So my point is that I think that people often put barriers in front of themselves that's like not realistic. Does that make sense? Like people put barriers in front of themselves where they don't necessarily understand that there is no barrier there. You can just become the person that you think that you can be. It just takes time and a little bit of gumption and elbow grease.
We'll stick to it.
And sometimes it takes a little bit of a prepaid credit card when you're 27 years old and you're like, I give you money and then I get to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it all starts. All right. Andrew, A+. Nate Connors. Dang, is that a fitted Cairo polo, my guy?
You got it, buddy.
Where are they giving those out, my dude?
I've got a whole drawer full of them. I'll bring you one.
I need one, but I won't fit in yours because yours are muscle fitted. You got those lifting muscles.
Nate's got a guy
who
can tailor it in for you.
Laura, A+. Spike, I'll give you a solid C+ today.
Thanks, buddy.
Solid C+.
Feeling good about this.
Here, my friends. It's quarter of the day.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Dang, Nate Connors back at it again with the slippers at work. Dang, back at it again with the invisible suit. Dang, Nate Connors. Dang, is that a fitted tee guy? Killing it in the fashion department. Dang.